Fatigue crept into his muscles as he tried to push himself up. He found he couldn't do it. His breathing was growing shallower, weaker. "Come on, Tag. Kaufman needs you. The Argo needs you." He crawled forward to a cabinet along the bulkhead. Leaning against it, he slowly lifted himself to his feet and opened it, his vision growing even more dizzied and blurred. He reached, swinging his hand through the air until he grasped crinkling plastic. His fingers wrapped around a swatch of plastic fabric, and he pulled a biosafety suit from its place in the closet, then toppled backward, the suit flopping over him. Darkness crept into his vision, and he could only see a narrow tunnel before him. Palms and knees flat on the deck, he dragged himself back to the airlock. "Hold on to the suit. Hold on to the suit." He had to repeat the mantra over and over. Or was he saying it aloud? He wasn't sure. His vision went completely black, and the threads of an unforgiving void wrapped around his mind, threatening him with unconsciousness. But he persevered past those enveloping coils and continued crawling. "Kaufman needs you. The Argo needs you. Hold on to the suit. The suit. Suit." The words echoed against the inside of his skull and slurred over his swollen tongue. His head knocked into the bulkhead. Had he reached the lab side of the medbay? Again, forcing energy into his exhausted muscles, he pulled himself upright. His hands played across the bulkhead, searching for the airlock's manual release, numbness spreading through his fingers and hampering his movements. But he thought he felt it. The lever. He pulled down. Somewhere in the shadows of his mind, he recognized the whoosh of air and hiss of an opening hatch. He tumbled inside, clutching the biosafety suit to his chest, and then slammed his hand randomly against the interior of the airlock over and over, searching for the button. Finally, he heard the satisfying punch of a depressed button, and the hatch hissed shut. Decontaminating gases poured over him, and the air in the chamber was sucked out, replaced by fresh bursts of clean oxygen washing over him. But the yellow gas had already done its damage. He could no longer keep the encroaching darkness from his mind. It swallowed him whole. As the inner hatch to the airlock opened, he crumpled, sprawling across the deck of the lab. He reached out, his numb fingers trembling in the air, a final thought whispering through his mind. "I'm sorry, Kaufman. I'm so sorry." He fell into unconsciousness. Chapter 7. "Pod ejected," the robotic voice echoed in the lab. A pang of piercing agony shot through Tag's head. His eyelids opened slowly. Light filtered in, stabbing into his retinas like scorching daggers and exacerbating his pounding headache. It was worse than the most debilitating hangover he'd ever endured. "Pod ejected," the robotic voice repeated. Faint recognition burned through the cloud of Tag's headache. The voice. Was the ship's AI running again? Optimism cut through his muddled thoughts like Earth's sun parting through storm clouds. But with his returning consciousness came brutal reality. Standard announcements like unauthorized boarders and pod ejected were not the reaction of any AI system. They were simple statements, programmed to go off in response to various events, whether it was the captain sending the ship into full alert or the case of the pod ejected, one of the ship's escape pods being flung from the ship. But if escape pods were being ejected, that meant... Tag sprang to his feet. Someone else was still alive on the ship, or at least they had been on the ship. Were there others hiding from the pirates, waiting to escape at the last moment? He scrolled through the lab's terminal to view the map of ETA and the surrounding planets. Sure enough, two little blips pinged on the projection near the Argo. They appeared to be careening toward the planet ETA-5, where Lieutenant Sophia Vasquez was supposed to be. On the comms menu, Tag selected a command to open a channel with the pods. Pod 1, this is Lieutenant Commander Tag Brewer, Chief Medical Officer of the Argo. Do you read? No response. No static. Nothing. He tried the second pod. Pod 2, this is Lieutenant Commander Tag Brewer, Chief Medical Officer aboard the Argo. Do you read? Again, no response. He checked the comm log and saw both messages had failed to even make it off the ship. Whatever the pirates had done to the ship's comms was still in effect. Through the holoscreen, Tag watched the pods rocketing away. Kaufman and he needed to be on one. He started to put on the biosafety suit he'd almost lost his life dragging in here. There was one more pod left. He could grab a suit for Kaufman and take her to the pod. They might be able to catch up with the other two, or at least land near enough for a rendezvous. He finished slipping on the white biosafety suit, and the self-cinching seams closed over his back. Then the ship shuddered. A blue beam traced across the map of the ETA solar system, signifying an energy weapon. It had seemingly come out of nowhere. But then Tag realized what was happening. The pirates were still near the Argo. Damn it! Tag remembered that they'd evaded the Argo's radar and LIDAR in the first place. They were virtually invisible to the ship's sensors, and their stealth ship wouldn't show up on the solar system map. The energy beam connected with Pod 2, and the blinking dot disappeared. Tag's heart sank. More death, more destruction. He waited for another beam to fire from the stealth ship and catch Pod 1, but instead, the Argo rumbled a deep, throaty growl. It had fired its own weapons. A chain of concentrated pulse rounds flew across the hollow projection from the Argo's single energy cannon. The rounds lanced into the small blip representing Pod 1, and it, too, disappeared. Had the pirates reprogrammed the ship to fire on its own escape pods? Or worse, were they still on board the Argo? No, Tag said. No, 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 no! He ran his fingers through his sweat-matted hair. Now, he feared, if he and Kaufman boarded the remaining pod, they would be shot out of space like Pods 1 and 2. And even if they somehow evaded the fire of their commandeered ship, and that of the pirates, they would crash land on ETA 5 alone and with no way of getting off the damned globe. He glanced at the map of the ETA system once more. They were mere hours from reaching the overpowering grasp of the star. The ship's radiation shields could only endure so much before he and Kaufman became shipboard stir-fry. There was only one surefire way to save them. He had to pilot the Argo. It had been decades since he'd been at the helm of a ship, and technology had advanced since his ill-fated days of flight officer training school, but he had no choice. He put the biosafety suit's helmet and mask over his head, and before leaving the lab, considered what he was up against. For some reason, the pirates hadn't simply obliterated the Argo with their cannons or a well-placed torpedo that would have turned the ship into a cloud of debris floating through space. To Tag, that could only mean one thing. They wanted no evidence that this ship had ever existed, not a single shard of discarded alloy. He wondered if this was what had become of the UNS Hope so many years ago. It, too, had vanished without a trace, and so far, no sign of the ship had been recovered. Whoever these pirates were, they seemed to want to turn this part of the universe into a figurative black hole. But maybe there was hope of somehow evading the pirates. After all, at least the Hanno had made it through the ETA system unscathed to drop off Lieutenant Vasquez. He shuddered. The pirates possessed better firepower. Their ship was stealthier and more advanced, and they were still coasting alongside the Argo. Even if he did gain control of it, what then? How would he escape the cannon fire that had decimated Pod 2? He needed to compartmentalize this, one thing at a time. First things first, he needed to get to the bridge and ensure he could control the ship. The blasts from the Argo's energy cannon worried him. It meant the pirates were somehow in command, which might explain why the AI didn't seem to work. Maybe the pirates had gained remote control. Tag sighed in frustration. He was no hacker or computer specialist and wasn't sure how he'd break their stranglehold if that was the case. He performed a final cam survey over the ship's passages and bridge, then drew away in shock. At least now he knew the ship wasn't being controlled remotely. A trio of pirates was in the bridge. One sat in the captain's crash couch while another worked weapons and a third sat at the pilot's terminal. Each wore sleek black mechanized suits. Glowing orange visors obscured their faces, and tubes snaked from their helmets into ports along their backs. Gun barrels were mounted on their forearms, and additional sidearms were holstered at their hips. Tag had no idea how he would get past this obstacle blocking his path toward escape, saving Kaufman and warning the SRE fleet of these bastards. Tag punched the button for the airlock and let the decontamination process repeat itself for the third time that day. He left the safety of the lab, and the biosafety suit's air filtration system kicked in. Air whooshed in and out, reminding Tag of what it sounded like to breathe underwater when diving. His suit rustled as he strode across the medbay's deck and picked up Kaufman's pulse rifle. The weapon felt heavy in his hands, despite the polymeric shell. The small fusion core in the device was weighty enough, and the weapon was usually handled while the user wore power armor. There was no way he could fit into Kaufman's idle armor still lying on the deck, even though she was broader and more muscular than him, built like all the other Marines, she was also half a head shorter. Ah, well, he thought morosely. The armor hadn't saved her or any of the others from the pirates' rounds. It won't save me. He puffed out his chest, primed the rifle, letting it hum to life, and punched the manual release for the medbay's hatch. This time, to his surprise, it hissed open, and he crept into the passage, cautiously stepping over Morgan's outstretched limbs and avoiding his fallen crewmates. Winding through the slightly hazy corridor, he snuck toward the bridge. Every step he took, he was plagued by a single, relentless thought. If these pirates had made it past the Marines, how was he, a medical officer, supposed to bring down three of them? Chapter 8. Tag shouldered the rifle and peered down its optic sights. He peeked around the corner and aimed at the hatch leading to the bridge. There were no pirates in sight. Slowly, he crept to the hatch. Every nerve in his body tingled, and a nagging voice in the back of his mind kept telling him this was suicide. He wanted to ignore it and end this battle against the pirates in a swift surprise spray of pulse rounds. But it was those impulsive, impetuous urges that had once sabotaged his career trajectory as a flight officer and landed him in the ship's medbay instead of the captain's seat. He paused and let that nagging voice speak a little louder. The pirate's armor had appeared unscathed when he'd observed them over the ship's cameras, and he hadn't seen a single dead pirate amid the corpses of the Argo's crew. There was something about the pirates he'd missed. Something the Marines had missed. There was a reason the pirates hadn't taken a single casualty. Then Tag realized he held that reason in his hands. The Marines had, of course, been using their standard-issue pulse rifles, but not a single round seemed to have connected with the pirates. It almost seemed too obvious to him now when he considered how much more advanced these pirates seemed to be. In his mind's eye, he pictured the shields shimmering around the pirates' armor again. Their armor was somehow able to generate enormous power to dissipate incoming energy rounds through suit-bound shields. Energy rounds, pulse, laser, whatever, wouldn't pierce them. Once again, his mind raced to the ship's armaments. The Argo was equipped with a pair of Gauss cannons, capable of launching depleted uranium rounds. When an enemy's ship's energy shields prevented pulse fire, good old-fashioned kinetics-based weapons often did the trick. Tag retreated slowly from the bridge and crept to the armory. His suit rustled with each movement, no matter how quiet he tried to be. He was almost there when footsteps clanged down the corridor. The armory was at the opposite end of the passageway, and the footsteps sounded too close. Whoever they belonged to would be on him at any moment. He ducked into the nearest hatch, engineering. As carefully as possible, he closed it. The sound of footsteps rounded the corner just as the hatch shut. Tag backed into the rear of the bay. Dull amber lights glowed over the space and illuminated the bodies of three more fallen crewmates, no doubt suffocated by the yellow haze. Large pipes and wires spiderwebbed across the room, connecting ducts and equipment tag only vaguely recognized. With the hatch closed, he couldn't hear where the footsteps had led, and if he went back to the passageway, he might run into a pirate. Even though he hadn't made it to the armory, engineering wasn't a bad second option. A glance around the space revealed all manner of tools scattered on the workbenches. Chem catalyst welders and cutters, sensor arrays, idle repair bots. He set the pulse rifle down and looked for something to replace it. There was nothing Tag found that would prove an adequate kinetic projectile weapon. The closest thing he uncovered with any long-range utility was a chem catalyst welder. But if pulse rounds were absorbed by the pirate's shields, he wasn't sure how well the welders would fare. He only had one chance at finding a working weapon, and any modicum of doubt was enough to pass by a possible candidate. With all the available tools, he figured he could put together some kind of weapon. But while tools were something he had in spades, time was not. Instead, he examined the spare disc-shaped repair bots with their tentacle arms. Small bots and their limited AI were used for repairing things like hull damage or malfunctioning sensor arrays. Their reinforced plating meant to withstand space debris might help prevent damage to Tag. He picked up a drone. It was light enough to lift with one hand. With his other hand, he hoisted a heavy wrench. He felt hopelessly prehistoric wielding the improvised weapon and shield, but if luck would have it, he wouldn't meet a pirate on his way to the armory anyway. Inhaling deeply, he positioned himself by the hatch. He tapped on a terminal and brought a bulkhead-mounted holoscreen to life. The limited intra-ship camera views allowed him to see partway down the corridor. There was no sign of the pirate he'd heard before, but he might be lingering in the cam's blind spot. But Tag couldn't wait any longer to find out. He inched the hatch open and winced as it groaned. Peeking out, he surveyed the passageway. Except for the bodies of his former crewmates and the slowly diminishing haze, it was clear. So far. He gently closed the hatch and sprinted through the corridor. The armory hatch appeared before him on his left. The door hung open, letting the soft glow of lights filter from the small gap between hatch and bulkhead, and Tag crept toward it. He held the wrench back, ready to strike, listening for any sounds of a pirate within. With his shoulder pressed to the hatch, he pushed the hatch open and stepped inside. Bright white lights washed over him. Weapons and pulse mags littered the deck, as did discarded pieces of armor. Marine locker doors lay open to reveal hollow picks ranging from landscapes of unfamiliar planets to seductive pinups to smiling families and loved ones. Tag tore his eyes from the sad sight and snuck between the lockers to the gun storage. He heard the clink of metal against metal. Holding his breath, he leaned around a locker. An armored pirate crouched over a row of weapons and ammunition crates. He sifted through the various armaments, and Tag wondered what the pirate could possibly be looking for. But most of all, he wondered how long he'd have to wait for him to leave. A few tense moments passed, with Tag keeping his breath shallow and standing stock still. He'd have to kill the man eventually, but he wanted a better weapon. Soon the pirate's rustling quieted. He listened for the telltale click of the metal boots against the deck, but all he heard was the whoosh of his biosafety suit's air flowing gently over his ears and the shifting groans of the Argo as she traveled ever closer to ETA's deadly grasp. He counted to 10, waiting and listening. When he heard no other indication the pirate was there, he curled back around the row of lockers. The armored pirate was indeed gone. Tag crept toward the ammo crates and racks of weapons, peering cautiously around as he did. On one rack, he spotted a mini gauss rifle. The weapon was not normally used in intra-ship battles, since its kinetic slugs were capable of piercing the bulkhead and penetrating the inner hull. But if his theory about the pirate's armor held true, an accurate shot would punch through their armor too, and he had no problem risking damage to the Argo. If the mini-gauss didn't kill the pirates, he'd be dead anyway. Tag approached the gun rack, ready to discard his repair drone shield and the wrench. A distinct click of metal against metal sounded to his left. He spun in time to see the glowing orange visor of the armored pirate staring directly at him. The pirate didn't say a word as he raised an arm. A blast of blue burst from his wrist-mounted weapons, aimed straight at Tag's chest. Chapter 9. Tag held the repair bot to shield himself from the incoming blast. The bot absorbed the blue pulse rounds and scorching heat radiated from it. Slag sprayed off the bot as the pirate fired another burst. The impact of the rounds pounding into the bot sent powerful vibrations resonating through the meager shield and into Tag's arm. He fought to hold it up against the relentless assault. The pirate brought up his other wrist and fired another slew of blue bolts. More molten metal oozed off the bot and smoke sizzled up from its fried circuitry. With a heave, Tag tossed the half-melted drone at the pirate. The pirate held up his hands to block it, and red and orange metal smashed against the armor on his forearm. Tag followed up with a heaving swing of the wrench that connected with the pirate's arms. Bits of the twisted, mounted weapons flew and pinged off the lockers. Tag brought the wrench up for another blow, but the pirate ducked. Instead, the wrench slammed into a locker and crushed the door. The pirate landed a kick that sent Tag flying backward. A snap reached Tag's ears and pain screamed through his ribs. He ignored the agony and rolled as the pirate leveled his remaining wrist-mounted guns once more. The pulse fire missed and sliced into a rifle on one of the gun racks. The gun barrel melted, dripping from the rack. More rounds splattered into the deck and bulkhead as Tag dodged. He threw the destroyed rifle at the pirate. The pirate shielded his helmeted face again. The move gave Tag a brief second to pick up the mini-gauss. He swiveled, aiming the heavy weapon across the pirate's center of mass. With the stock firmly against his shoulder, he squeezed the trigger, imagining the look of horror behind the pirate's glowing orange visor. Victory! But to his astonishment, the rifle clicked, uselessly. No slug flew from its barrel.
No!
Tag yelled. The pirate dove for Tag's feet. His shoulders careened into Tag's shins, and Tag fell hard. The pirate's fingers wrapped around him and tore at his biosafety suit. It ripped, and the remnants of the yellow gas fought to enter against the air whistling out from the positive pressure suit. He ignored the tear and smashed an elbow into the back of the pirate's head, but his bony elbow thudded uselessly against the man's helmet. The blow hadn't fazed the pirate, and he spun on Tag. The pirate dragged him across the deck. At point-blank range, he aimed his wrist-mounted weapon at Tag's face. Adrenaline poured through Tag. He clasped his hands around the pirate's wrist. His muscles burned in desperation-fueled power as he fought to aim the weapon away from his face. A round went off next to him. Heat cut through his biosafety suit's helmet. More air blew past his face and out of the singed suit. His ears started to tingle, seared by the pulse round or the last waves of the biting gas. He wasn't sure. He used every bit of his flagging strength to roll out from under the pirate. Another round cut into the deck beside him. He picked up the dropped mini-gauss. He started to heave it back like a battering ram ready to fly, aiming the barrel into the orange visor. A thought flickered through his mind. It had been far too long since he'd actually used a firearm. Medical officers were more accustomed to saving lives than taking them. But his decades-old training kicked in now. He switched the manual safety off the bulky rifle and pulled the trigger. The rifle jolted back, stock slamming into his shoulder. The coils alleviated some of the recoil, and it didn't hit with the same force as an ancient firearm, but the energy still had to go somewhere. He'd barely had time to steady it, and it slipped from his grip with the impact. Diving, he scrambled for the rifle and then brought it level with the pirate's face again, panting all the while. But the pirate didn't move in for a second attack. The first shot had been enough. Fracture lines emanated from a hole in the middle of the pirate's orange visor. Dark liquid seeped out of the visor, tracing across its smart contours. Dead. Finally. Tag gasped for air, and a tingling sensation crept up Tag's leg from where the suit had been ripped. It must have been the lingering yellow gas biting into his skin. It was nowhere near the strength of his first encounters with the stinging fog. He didn't know if this pirate had warned the others, so he figured there was no time to patch the suit up now. Dispatching the other two would be more crucial to saving his and Kaufman's lives. He sprinted out of the armory, clutching the mini-gauze. Avoiding his fallen comrades littering the corridors, he dashed to the bridge, then slowed. He doubted he had the element of surprise anymore. But he crouched anyway and crept into the bridge. The mini-gauze's barrel was still hot as he brought it to bear. No one was at the pilot's terminal, nor the captain's chair. He pointed the barrel at the weapons station, but no one was there either. Where had they gone? Then, as if to answer his question, a beam of blue flashed out of his periphery. He hid in time for the round to splash across the bulkhead behind him. A charred hole formed where his head had been, and he rolled to a new position, sighting up at the pirate responsible for the shot. The pirate stood brazenly in the open and aimed his wrist-mounted weapons at Tag. No doubt, with his energy shields impenetrable to pulse fire, he had grown arrogant after taking down the Marines. Tag fired. The kinetic slug caught the pirate square in the chest, punching cleanly through the armor plates. The pirate flew backward and crumpled against the chart table. The other pirate dove behind the chart table, apparently learning quickly. Tag bore the mini-gauze on the table and waited for an opportunity to fire. The pirate peeked around and shot a salvo of flashing blue pulse fire that sliced into the bulkhead. Tag fired off another slug. It went high and crashed dangerously close to the bridge's forward viewport. More blue pulse rounds flew back in response. The pirate had better cover, and with the bridge's viewport behind him, the threat of mutually assured destruction should Tag miss again. Pain seeped into his flesh, deeper and more fiery from the gas. He exchanged fire with the pirate in spates, but they were locked in a battle of attrition now. There was no easy way for Tag to get a better firing angle, and the pirate evidently fully realized the debilitating power of the mini-gauze slugs. Tag squeezed off another round that punched into the chart table. It tore through the table and left a wide hole in its support structure. Maybe, he thought. He fired again and heard what sounded like a yelp of surprise. Of course, the mini-gauze was powerful enough to rip through the bulkhead with the wrong shot. So why not blast apart the chart table? Tag lined up another shot as he guessed where the pirate might be hiding. A flurry of blue pulse fire splashed around him, forcing him to recoil. The pirate seemed to know his chances for survival were dwindling. He leapt over the chart table, firing desperately. Tag let loose another few slugs that went wide and slammed through the pilot's chair. He stood and retreated, aiming the rifle for another shot, but the pirate ran low, headed straight at him, and he couldn't bring his rifle around in time. The pirate hit Tag at full force. His fingers splayed, and the mini-gauze rifle skittered away. His head cracked against the bulkhead and rang out with a hollow thud. His vision blurred for a second as red waves of pain coursed through his skull. His fist pounded against his jaw, and his teeth chattered. Another armored fist came at his face. He turned in time to receive only a glancing blow. The pirate pummeled him. He struggled to block each devastating attack. Pain undulated through his ribs, his jaw, his head, his leg. The dual assault from the gas and the pirate overwhelmed him. Stars glimmered in his vision, only he knew it wasn't the distant reaches of space he was seeing. His hearing rang, and the coppery taste of blood trickled over his tongue. This was going to be it. He'd come so close and failed. "Sorry, Kaufman," he thought as he absorbed another blow. Her closed eyes and near-lifeless body flashed through his mind in rhythm with the pirate's beating. But then, a strange sensation poured through him. Kaufman was relying on him. And what about the anthropologist they were supposed to pick up on ETA 5? What about the members of the SRE Navy sitting aboard the Montenegro? If they did eventually send a rescue crew, they needed to know what they were up against. Otherwise, they'd be blindly rushing into their own slaughter. Their lives depended on him. Tag surged upward and butted his head against the pirate's, his helmet cracking into the pirate's orange visor. He rammed him again, sending the pirate off balance. Fissures formed in the visor. Tag ignored his own sweltering pain and used his forward momentum to send the pirate sprawling. They locked in a vicious struggle as the pirate fought back, his strength augmented by his powerful armor suit. But Tag had the advantage of being a cornered animal. Fierce, beastly instinct overrode any inarguable logic telling him he'd already lost this battle to the death. He delivered blow after blow against the pirate's cracked face shield. The pirate scrambled out from under Tag and crawled away. Tag pounced. He tore at the small hoses and tubes along the suit's back. Air and gas hissed out. One leaked black fluid in a steady stream, and another sprayed the oily liquid across the deck like a severed artery. As the suit bled out, the pirate was getting weaker. Much, much weaker. Tag stood and lugged the pirate over the deck. The man's hand flailed in a desperate attempt to grab onto anything. He aimed one wrist-mounted gun at Tag, but a swift kick knocked his arm away. The round splashed against the bulkhead harmlessly. Tag retrieved the pirate's dropped sidearm and turned the weapon on its owner. He pulled the trigger and a spray of blue pulse fire cut across the suit. An energy shield shimmered green at first, blocking a few rounds, before crackling and disappearing. Whatever damage he'd done to the suit seemed to have disrupted its shield. The pulse fire punched into the pirate's legs, torso, arms, then helmet. The man's limbs twitched, then went still. Steam coated the inside of Tag's visor as he gasped to catch his breath and sealed the bridge's hatch. There hadn't been any other pirates when he'd checked the cams earlier, but if there were more than the three he'd dispatched, he didn't want to be taken by surprise again. He peered at the pilot's seat, where a hole through the middle of it had left chunks of the adaptive foam puffing out from the torn seat like a wounded animal. Settling into the seat, he was finally ready to see how rusty his piloting skills had become. And as soon as his fingers flicked on the controls to gain control of the ship, a red light flashed across the terminal before him. The blood in his vessels chilled as he read the message. Weapon lock detected. A hollow screen showed the ETA-5 solar system and the Argo's location within it. The ship continued to draw nearer to ETA, and as it did, a glowing spot indicated where the weapon lock had been detected. The telltale glow of a charging energy weapon sparked on the hollow projection above the chart table. The death of the pirate trio hadn't gone unnoticed by the stealth ship. Chapter 10. Tag wrapped his fingers around the control systems without bothering to strap himself in. Come on, baby. We got this. He patted the pilot station's terminal. The weapons lock warning glared across the hollow screen like a menacing animal waiting to pounce. Any moment, the pirate ship would let loose its cannon, tearing into the Argo and sabotaging his efforts to save himself or anyone else. Maybe he could at least make it harder for those monsters to kill him. His memories of training pouring quickly back, he shoved the manual throttle forward and the ship blasted into full thrust. The intense G-force pressed him into the contoured seat as the main impellers roared, shifting gravity around the ship. He turned the ship hard to starboard, but at this close range, it wouldn't be hard for the pirates to find a new firing solution, even if they chose to do it manually. His mind raced over his options. The medical officer portion of his brain came alive, triaging that which was most important, most crucial to saving lives the quickest. Shields. He needed shields. He swiped on the terminal to bring up the ops interface. Panic struck him as he searched for the commands to restore the energy shields, and his fingers shook as he desperately scanned the holoscreen. Come on, come on, where are you? He yelled. So many commands, buttons, and words sparked distant, vague memories. Then he found it. He punched the proper commands, and the holoscreen reported all energy shields re-engaged at 100%. That should buy him some time. Even if he couldn't maneuver out of the way of the pirate's first shot, he might escape merely rattled instead of obliterated. He flicked another command on the terminal that blasted the pirates with radio and laser chatter. Those tactics might help throw off their targeting systems, but he still needed to put more distance between them to make it effective. Even as the Argo accelerated with full impeller thrust, the pirate ship's charging cannon never strayed off target. Tag turned the ship hard to port and blasted with all impellers. The change in acceleration shoved him deeper into his seat, and he tightened his grip on the pilot's controls. At the same time, flashes of blue and green lit up around him like an electric storm. The Argo shook like a wooden sailing ship caught in a typhoon. The pirates had fired. Tag held his breath, waiting to see how well the Argo stood up to the frightening technology of the pirates. The shields absorbed the brunt of the charged pulse fire, but the Argo still trembled and groaned. With each passing second, the shaking and bucking grew worse until the shimmering energy shields disappeared with a sudden electric shriek. A bevy of warnings flashed across the hollow screen, reporting the shields were down, overwhelmed by the massive assault. The incoming energy had been too much, and the shield generators were dead. Tag wouldn't get a second chance to absorb another direct hit of that magnitude. Three hells. Any energy weapon a fraction as strong would pierce the Argo's hull, tearing into it like a tin can. He threw the ship into full thrust again and rocketed forward, away from the blinding radiance of ETA and, hopefully, away from the pirates. But he truly had no idea if he was avoiding them at all. The Argo's sensors couldn't pick the pirate ship up when it wasn't charging weapons, and it disappeared again. He did his best to spiral the ship through space in a weak attempt at evasive maneuvers by flying in awkward zigzags, dropping and increasing relative altitude as unpredictably as he could. A bright dot glared on the hollow projection once more, no more than 100 clicks from the Argo. It was farther than Tag would have guessed, but not far enough for him to be pleased. A chain of dots started accelerating from the pirate ship, headed his direction. Pulse fire. He weaved and dropped relative altitude, ducking under a heavy barrage of blue pulse rounds. Another salvo of bright lights flew past the bridge's viewport as he blasted the ship's port and starboard impellers to rock the ship sideways. The huge white globe of ETA-5 appeared before him, a livable planet, the one where the Argo was supposed to meet Lieutenant Vasquez. "Doesn't seem likely now," Tag thought grimly. He gritted his teeth and leaned forward in the seat, urging the ship onward, even as he felt the planet's gravitational force pull him in. If he couldn't coax the ship to accelerate more rapidly with impellers alone, he'd enlist ETA-5's help. If he could speed around the planet, he might be able to put enough distance between himself and the pirates to calculate a T-drive jump into hyperspace and get out of here for good, so he could contact the Montenegro. "Computer, calculate orbital trajectory." No response. He hadn't really expected one. He had already figured he was the only intelligent form conscious on the ship, AI or human. More rapid pulse fire careened past the Argo, but this time the ship didn't come away unscathed. Several rounds bit into the hull, sending shockwaves reverberating through the bulkhead, causing a bank of lights on the bridge to spark and go dark. "Pressure loss, cargo bay," an annoyingly calm robotic voice claimed. At least the AI would show more emotion than these damn pre-recorded response and emergency messages. Sweat beaded over Tag's skin as he tried to settle into orbit without the AI's guidance. He gazed at the holoscreen's relative altitude displays and manually locked in ETA-5 as his new target. He pulled up hard as another blast of pulse fire grazed the ship. Metal screamed and groaned from the change in acceleration and the connecting rounds. He needed to move, to get away from those pirates. The increasing acceleration pressed him into his seat, and nausea curled its fingers around his stomach as the ship's inertial dampeners fought to keep up. His muscles felt weak. Dizziness threatened to overtake him, but he forced himself to stay awake. To stay awake. As he managed the shaking controls with one hand, he tapped on the ops display on the terminal. He tried to get the weapon's AI to provide a bit of return fire, but a single message reported no firing solutions from the ship's AI, just as he'd expected. Instead, he manually fired the ship's gauze and energy cannons over the Argo's stern and watched a trail of pulse fire shimmer behind the ship on the hollow projection. He had little chance of scoring more than a lucky hit on the pirates, but he'd be damned if he didn't at least try. Anything to distract them or keep them on their toes was fine by him. Tag pulled back on the controls, guiding the ship into an orbital trajectory around ETA-5. The hollow projection gave him a rough estimate of where the Argo needed to be to enter orbit. Using the planet's pull, the ship started to slingshot around it. More rounds zipped by him, disappearing below the ship and into ETA-5's cloudy atmosphere. The energy pulses seemed to dissipate when they hit the mass of white, arcs of lightning cutting horizontally across the atmosphere wherever they collided with the curtain of swirling clouds. Odd, Tag thought. The strange energy anomaly emanating from this planet appeared to affect more than just comms. Arcing fire cut over the bow, dashing Tag's thoughts, and he jolted the ship to starboard. The maneuver threatened to shake him from orbit, but he pushed into the controls until the acceleration crept up again. "Don't worry," Tag said, staring down at the planet, thinking of Lieutenant Vasquez stuck down there somewhere. "We'll be back." He scrolled through the terminal as he maneuvered the ship, avoiding another incoming salvo. Warnings still flashed across the screen from the damaged cargo bay. He ignored them and switched on the T-drive. The drive spooled in preparation for a jump to hyperspace. "Computer?" He stopped, realizing his mistake almost immediately, then continued with only the faintest of hopes. "Computer, calculate hyperspace route to the last known position of the SRES Montenegro." No response. His plan of leaving the pirates behind had hinged on making the jump. It was his only chance at escaping the bastards sending volley after volley of energy rounds coursing through space at the Argo. But jumping through hyperspace was a risky affair. One wrong move, one tiny collision with space debris, and the whole ship would go up in a ball of unleashed plasma. The ship would not make the jump without a carefully plotted course, and Tag couldn't plot the damn course himself. He needed the AI, even trying to throw in a random coordinate. Chart a haphazard path and hope for the best was too complicated and ridiculously dangerous when he was simultaneously piloting the ship and operating the weapons. Another blast rocked the ship. It was followed by a second, lower explosion. From the bridge's viewport, Tag watched blue plasma jut into space. One of the attitude impellers on the port side had been damaged. He wrestled with the controls, wrangling with the ship, but the jutting plasma pushed it off course and he fell out of orbit. With the whole vessel bucking like a wild Mustang, there was no way he was going to outrun the pirates now. There was only one thing to do. One very crazy thing. Tag put the ship into full reverse. His body flew forward, but he fought to maintain his grip on the controls. He swiveled the Argo around on its axis and spun to face the pirates. Chapter 11. Blue rounds twisted and curved through empty space, zipping over the viewport and across the bow. Tag shot up, sending the Argo over the spiraling laces of pulse fire. The Argo was no destroyer, but Tag was sure going to treat her like one now. It might be his only option, Kaufman's only option. This maneuver could make or break their chances of survival. He flipped on the point defense system in conjunction with the gauze cannons and targeted a set point directly in front of the ship. There was no easy way he could simultaneously fly and guide the kinetic cannons, as they automatically launched uranium-depleted rounds and powerful kinetic slugs in rapid fire. "I'm going to have to do this the old-fashioned way," he thought, like some ancient World War I biplane pilot. The recoil from the cannons echoed through the ship's bulkhead with a constant, rhythmic whoomp. Tag pitched the ship's prow up toward the pirates. The cannon's bright orange, beady fire followed wherever the Argo pointed. For the first time, he got a good, lengthy look at the pirate's ship. The vessel was no bigger than a cutter. Its sleek black design was similar to the armor the three pirates had worn aboard the ship, and its elegant curves and dark shading enabled it to almost seamlessly blend into the murky void of space. A small viewport glowed orange, glaring with the brilliant light radiating off ETA. Tag was at first surprised that they'd sent such a small craft to intercept the Argo, but just as quickly he realized they hadn't anticipated using anything more drastic when they had the advantage of both stealth and far superior firepower. And no wonder his plan of outmaneuvering the vessel hadn't worked. It was much spryer than the Argo. There'd be no outpacing it now. He punched a command to charge the energy cannon. A progress bar slid across the terminal, displaying the rising strength of the charge. He jostled the controls, avoiding the spiraling cords of incoming pulse fire. Like an adept dance partner, the cutter moved in concert and brought its weapons to bear on the Argo with each slight adjustment in the ship's relative altitude, attitude, and pitch. Tag's fingers trembled as he pulled back, then pushed forward, then twisted the controls in response, constantly trying to stay a step ahead of his lethal dance partner. All it would take was one wrong move, one minute mistake, and this standoff would be over. "Maximum charge achieved," a robotic voice announced from the terminal. The energy cannon was ready. The cutter zipped back and forth, deftly avoiding the kinetic fire coming from the Argo. The small ship presented a difficult target for the rapid-fire weapons, and it was going to be exponentially more difficult for Tag to line the ship up in his sights and score a hit with the single-fire blast of the energy cannon to bring down its shields, exactly like they'd done to him. "I'm not going to have another shot at this," Tag thought. "I've got to make this one count." He smiled grimly. And all this while doing the job of a 3-man crew. He had to decrease the probability of a miss somehow. Tag rocketed toward the cutter, his jaw clenched instinctively as he dodged the incoming pulse fire and narrowed the distance between the two ships. He ignored the alarms, the quaking bulkheads, and the warnings on his holoscreen, dead set on bringing these pirates down. If there was no running away, if there was no getting out of this alive, the least he could do was take them out with him. As the pirate's cutter grew larger through the viewport, he realized that this could very well end up being a suicide run. It should be monumentally emotional, maybe brazenly heroic, but right now, he felt only the unrelenting pangs of intense anger. He leaned forward until he was almost completely off the pilot's seat. More pulse rounds skimmed the bow of the Argo, and he jockeyed the controls to steady it. "Just a bit more," he said through gritted teeth. The Argo's point defense system and gauze cannons continued firing. Glowing orange rounds from Tag's ship twisted through space to meet the winding ropes of blue blasting from the cutter. The Argo shook and tremored violently, but so far it hadn't exploded into a ball of plasma and debris. That was all that mattered to Tag. He concentrated on his evasive maneuvers, steering the ship through the onslaught of incoming fire. Closer. Closer. The cutter almost blotted out the bridge viewport. Several uranium-depleted rounds from the point defense cannons drilled into the pirate ship, and Tag hooted as small flames flickered, then were sucked out by vacuum. Clouds of debris geysered from small holes in the ship. The rounds had actually breached the hull. It didn't seem as though the shots had debilitated the cutter, but it was proof the ship was no god. It wasn't invincible. It bled, too. A chain of pulse fire ripped over the prow. One round splashed against the hull near the bridge. "Hull breach detected," the bridge said in its irritatingly calm voice. White gas condensed and plumed out of the small opening in the Argo. It was enough to obstruct Tag's line of sight, but he was too close to give up now. Too damn close. He tried to guide himself by the ethereal blue rounds slashing at the ship. More quaking, more warnings, another hull breach. "Hold yourself together," he yelled, his voice echoing in the empty bridge. The pain in his leg from the yellow haze seemed to have dissipated. Whether it was from the ship's last dying efforts to clean the air or the adrenaline barreling through his vessels, Tag couldn't be sure. His mind felt as if it was on fire, as if he'd been ready for this moment his entire life. As if it hadn't been years since he was training on a bridge like this, working his way up to earn his place as captain instead of being forced into this seat by disaster. The spewing white gas cleared from the viewport, and an inky black hull appeared before him again. The cutter. Spikes of debris and gas still jutted from the piercing rounds he'd sent through it. A bright purple glow emanated from beneath its hull. Its impellers were lighting up, propelling it away from the Argo at the last second. Too late! Tag punched the button to unleash the fully charged energy cannon. A brilliant, fiery blast exploded from it, and the ship shook. No more blue rounds chased the Argo. It had been a direct hit. Yes, yes, yes! Tag pumped his fist in the air. But the Argo's shuddering became more violent. Any sense of victory he'd felt evaporated as quickly as life in the vacuum of space. The explosion around the cutter continued as if in slow motion, with flashes of orange and red and white cut through by green arcs of what looked like lightning. But no metal debris, no bodies of pirates flung across his bridge viewport. Instead, the blast of intense energy dissipated and fizzled out. More crackles of green lightning illuminated the invisible energy shield protecting the cutter. Except for the few already bleeding wounds in its hull from the gauze cannons, she came away from what should have been a devastating blast, unscathed. The shields didn't go down like Tag had hoped. They were too strong. Unadulterated terror coursed through Tag. Energy weapons weren't going to cut it. He fought his panic and directed the Argo to send a volley of uranium-depleted rounds into the belly of the cutter, where more pinpricks appeared in its hull as the rounds slammed into the pirate's ship. More jutting gas, more debris. But it wasn't dead yet. It just wouldn't die. A glowing indicator on his hollow projection ensured he knew that. The pirates were charging their main energy cannon again. A shot this close couldn't be missed. Tag went into reverse thrust. He continued firing, hoping against hope that he'd score a lucky hit and his enemy would explode into a million pieces before their energy cannon fired. But the cannon continued to throb a dull blue. His palms grew sweaty around the controls as he focused more gunfire into the cutter's hull. It was no longer moving, no longer trying to avoid the incoming slugs. The glow beneath the pirate's keel had ceased. Maybe he'd knocked out the cutter's main impellers. He dropped the Argo underneath the enemy ship to maneuver into the pirate's blind spot and fired another salvo into its hull. A small explosion ripped through the port side of the sleek ship. Tag grimaced as he watched larger chunks of debris get sucked out. The orange viewport flickered, and several small explosions rocked the stealth ship. The main impellers were surely dead by now, but its weaker altitude and pitch adjustment impellers were not, and the cutter rocked unsteadily, bringing to bear its charging energy cannon. Tag stared at it agape, then threw the Argo into full thrust forward. The violent change in direction caused unhealthy shaking throughout the ship. An explosion blasted somewhere along the keel, and the ship lurched. A warning glared across his holoscreen, proclaiming the Argo's main impellers and thrusters had failed, leaving the ship as vulnerable as the pirates. Tag cursed himself. This was why he hadn't become a pilot. Demanding too much of his ship, too much of himself, not knowing the limits of man or machine. And this time, the mistake had cost him his life. More smaller plumes of plasma spouted from the cutter like fountains. The ship vibrated as alloy panels rocketed off from its hull, carried by blasts of venting gas and tongues of plasma. Then, the energy cannon fired. Chapter 12. A blue flash of light became white and swallowed the Argo. Tag wondered if this was the afterlife, if this was the tunnel to the gods, the final beam through space that would take him to a land without suffering. But he had no such luck. The light dissipated as plasma permeated cracks around where the energy cannon was fixed to the pirate's cutter. The ship spiraled end over end away from the Argo. The main thrust of the energy beam had missed, but it had been close enough to batter the Argo with its wake, and the Argo rocked, its bulkhead groaning as if it was about to be torn apart. Tag fought the concussive force overwhelming him with the Argo's functional altitude and attitude adjustment impellers, but it wasn't enough. The Argo accelerated toward ETA-5 as the planet's gravity tugged the ship from its failed orbit. Tag clenched his fingers around the controls, barely keeping the ship in an upright position relative to the planet. As the Argo dropped, he watched another explosion separate the cutter from its energy cannon. The ship buckled, splitting in half and freezing for a second. Then, debris and cargo spilled from the ruptured hull like the guts of a battlefield casualty. The cutter had pushed itself too far. Firing a blast like that when the ship was already damaged had been a mistake. Whoever's in charge over there isn't so different from me, Tag thought. A final blinding blast tore through the cutter, and it disappeared in a rolling ball of plasma, sending a storm of flotsam flying from the blast. Pieces of the cannon's barrel, shards of the orange viewport, and fragments of alloy spread to envelop the Argo. One panel, flipping end over end, crashed into the Argo. A loud thud echoed through the bridge, and Tag watched it deflect after tearing into the outer hull. The pirate ship was almost as deadly now as it had been when it was intact. In a barely controllable descent to ETA-5, Tag used the weak adjustment impellers to dodge the largest pieces of broken ship careening toward him. Smaller bolts and unrecognizable hunks of slag couldn't be avoided. They rained across the Argo, pinging and flying off in other directions, every little piece transferring momentum that only served to accelerate the ship's unavoidable new trajectory. As the ship plummeted, Tag knew there would be no escaping ETA-5 now. The adjustment impellers on the Argo were nothing compared to the unrelenting pull of the planet. The best he could do was use the impellers and inertia to guide the ship. He focused on the holo projection glowing in front of the terminal, searching the planet and gesturing over it to rotate the image. The dot signifying the Argo blinked red, nothing he didn't already know. He was looking for something else. There, he spotted another crimson marker. It signified the location where the Argo's crew was supposed to meet Lieutenant Vasquez, that is, if she was still alive. It had been months since the SRE received her last courier drone scheduling their rendezvous. Unexpected green light flickered around the Argo. The holoscreen reported the ship's hulls were heating, approaching thermal limits. Friction tore at the Argo as the ship fell through the thick mesosphere, threatening to finish the job the pirates had started. Tag gave the adjustment impellers everything the ship had left, trying as best he could to push the failing ship toward the rendezvous point and slow the plummet. The atmosphere outside the viewport suddenly became white and hazy, obscuring any hope he had of seeing where he was headed. Every sensor was going haywire, undulating in a bevy of colors and singing in alarm. The holo projection of ETA-5 flickered. One moment, the ship appeared to be near the rendezvous point. The next, it seemed to be almost 1,000 clicks away. A long groan reverberated through the ship. Then everything quieted. Almost everything. The alarms that had been wailing before the tumultuous descent still screamed, but the sensor readings were back to normal and the holo projection of ETA-5 stabilized. The ship had fallen past the blanket of white and gray clouds and the sparking emerald electricity of the upper atmosphere. A new landscape was rising up to meet the Argo. Tall, craggy mountains pierced the horizon. Clean, white carpets of snow covered everything. Ice sparkled from the few rays of dull light shifting through the dense overhead clouds. In the distance, a dash of green lightning flashed. Snow fell. Big, soft, white flakes danced and curled past the Argo. Ice started to freeze and obscure the bridge viewport. Tag tried to ignore the frigid landscape and turned back to the holo projection. He was still over 800 clicks from the site of the rendezvous. He pushed full thrust to all impellers, slowing the descent as much as he could and hoping forward momentum would be enough to close the distance. 700 clicks to the rendezvous point, and the ground was rising up fast. 600, and he passed the first mountain peak. 500, and the horizon disappeared. All he saw was a wall of towering, icy mountains. 400, and he knew he wouldn't make it. At 300 clicks, he no longer watched the holo projection. He wrestled with the controls to avoid slamming into the mountainside. Blankets of snow and ice obscured the features of the already uniformly white landscape, making any contact with land potentially disastrous. He steered hard to port. The ship banked and the keel scraped against a massive chunk of ice. From his periphery, he saw the chunk fall, carrying with it a small avalanche. The tumbling snow and ice built into a tidal wave as he tried to keep the prow up, urging the Argo to fly, however far it could. Suddenly, another face of ice and rock appeared through the curtain of snowfall. Tag yanked the controls hard to his right, avoiding the obstacle cleanly this time. But this was no time to gloat about a successful maneuver. More rock, more ice, more snow, pressure built in Tag's head. His nerves stirred with electricity and his vision became tunneled. All senses became tuned to the route ahead. He heard no more alarms, saw no more flashing lights, just the rising mountainsides, dropping valleys and perilous ice formations ahead. He careened through a deep crevice between the mountains while swirling snow obscured the viewport. Knowing he would hit the ground soon, he looked for a better place to crash land. The rocks and boulders along the mountainside would tear into the Argo's already bleeding wounds, and as far as he knew, it was the only vessel capable of getting off this godforsaken planet. He couldn't risk destroying it completely on landing. Suddenly, he was blasting through clear sky again. He'd shot out over a cliff. Directly in front, several long spires of ice jutted from the snowbanks like the claws of some frozen devil. The Argo slammed into the first of the spires. Ice shards clinked against its hull and it barreled through the next. Ice rained all around as the spires toppled. Others burst as the ship crashed through them. Between the chunks of flying ice, Tag saw another pillar protruding from the snow. This one wasn't ice. It was hard, gray and brown, speckled rock. He pulled back hard on the controls and diverted all the power he could to the weakened impellers. The rock pillar grew closer, looming before the bridge viewport. "Come on, you can do it!" Tag screamed at the ship. The Argo's belly scraped against the rocky formation as it curved to port just enough to avoid a direct hit. Screeching metal echoed through the ship, and Tag could tell the drastic turn had decimated his forward momentum. The ship plummeted. There was no use in attempting to adjust its trajectory any longer. A huge plane of snow met the ship's keel, and a heavy jolt shuddered through the Argo. Puffs of white exploded outside the viewport, and Tag was thrown from his seat. He slammed spine first into the bulkhead, and his head hit after. Pain shot through his body as he blinked away his dizzied vision. But as rough a landing as it had been,